chapter 15, if you'll look there tonight, and I'm going to pick up on the kaleidoscope of prayer. And you remember the kaleidoscope is the many different shades and the many different avenues and the many different angles of prayer. Your prayers are really, a lot of people's prayers are really just two dimensional. Oh, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. God, help somebody else. God, help somebody else. See you later. Talk to you later. And the next time, God, help me. God, help me. God, help somebody else. See you later. Next time, God, help me. God, help me. You know, prayer can be so much more than just that. And by the way, a God, help me prayer is still prayer. Amen. And so don't discount that one. But I want to deepen your prayer life. I want to deepen your approach to prayer, your thought about prayer, your practice of prayer, and what defines prayer and what refines prayer. So in Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, if you're there, would you say amen? Amen. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, that my service which I have in Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and with you may be refreshed. Now the God of all peace be with you all. And everybody said amen. Now, Father, tonight anoint the preaching of your word. Thank you tonight for the kaleidoscope of prayer. Thank you for the all that prayer is. And Lord, just make it more real to us, because prayer is being in your presence, changed into your image. And Father, we give you the praise for it tonight. And everybody said amen and amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored. I said, blessed and highly favored. So, I want to talk about going all in prayer. Now, I was raised in the Pentecostal church for a while. I went to the Assemblies of God. A big part of my teenage spiritually formative years was in the Emmanuel Holiness in Rocky Mount. And then my grandmother had a little independent holiness church, of which Carolyn Edwards was part of that church, sung there as a teenager, her and Sister Finn. And so I've kind of been in Pentecost all my life, and we Pentecostals probably understand about the intensity of prayer. We, as Pentecostals, you know, for example, non-Pentecostal churches. Now, I'll never forget the first time I went to a Free Will Baptist church, and the preacher said, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Well, when the preacher at my church said, we're going to the Lord in prayer, well, guess what? Everybody started praying. And I mean, we just put it on for about 5 or 10 minutes. And we do that now. But I'll never forget that this was different. When the preacher said it was time to pray, nobody but one person prayed. It's like, oh my God, that is just so weird. It was so quiet and so relaxed. And, you know, we know what it is in Pentecost to pray, and we mean business when we pray. You want us to pray in the hospital, we're going to pray. I had a brother that I pastored down in Kinston, Brother James Perry. His daughter is Tammy Summerlin, who you may know as the Oak Grove Boys, Roger and Tammy Summerlin, the main couple. Tammy's mother and father-in-law, I pastored them in Kinston. Now, Brother James, I don't care where he was. If he was in Golden Corral at the buffet, or if he was in intensive care unit, if you asked him to pray, you get ready, because you're going to hear some praying, and it's going to be in tongues, and it's going to be loud. And so a couple of times he'd get to praying in the hospital, and I would kind of back up a little bit, and I would bow my head, and I'd kind of look around just to see how people were reacting to that. And you should have saw some of the reactions in the hospitals and the nurses. But hey, you know what? When we pray, we need to pray. Amen. Sometimes. Now, if anything, we probably need to realize that we don't have to be loud when we pray. Amen. We don't have to scream out in the top of our lungs. We don't have to speak in tongues and 40 decibels. Just to whisper prayer can and does move mountains. Amen. But I do want to talk about the intensity of prayer. I want to talk about going all in our prayer. You see, Paul said something. Look in Romans 15 and verse 30. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive." Say the word strive. Strive together with me in prayer. One more time. Say the word strive. Really, the Greek word for that word strive is the word we get the word agonize from. So really, you could translate this scripture and say, would you mind agonizing in prayer with me? And so I want to talk to you about that. I believe what Paul was talking about was going all in prayer. Pray like everything depends on it. Strive. Agonize. There's other words here. So I just want this to make this kaleidoscope. Just I want to bring out all the rich colors of that word strive. It means to aim in your prayers. Do you know prayers aren't to be aimed? Like if you're going to shoot an arrow with a bow and arrow, there's usually a target and you don't just hit the target. Most of the time you're looking for the bullseye. Amen. And too many times our prayers are scattered. You know, oh, God bless all the missionaries of the world. Now, can God bless all the missionaries of the world? Sure, he can. But there's more power when you say, Lord, would you bless Danny and Judith Williams? They are in Nepal, and they need a touch from the Master's hand. Now, brother, something's going to happen with that prayer a little bit more than bless all the children of the world. Amen? Lord, bless all the preachers and all the mothers and the deacons and the elders and the saints and the aints. Listen, we need to aim our prayers. I want my mama saved. I want my sister saved. I want my wife saved. Oh, she's already saved. But I want, she's been with me 11 days. Shut up. She might need some prayer. Amen. That song she sung tonight had a lot of victory in it. I promise you. She's lived that. Hallelujah. But we need to aim our prayers. I am praying for on election night. Please don't silence this on Facebook Live. Please amplify it if you will, because I want the world to know where I stand. And I am so tired of preachers. John MacArthur got up and made this statement. He said, no true Christian is going to vote for the other side. They're going to vote for Donald Trump if they're a true born-again Christian. I'm like, thank you, sir. When will our Pentecostal leaders start standing up and saying, hey, this is the way to walk and this is the way to vote? Amen. I didn't got in trouble and hadn't started preaching but 10 minutes. But I am praying specifically. I am aiming my prayers that on election night, come around midnight, that we will know that there will be a victory in the election. Amen. I'm aiming my prayer that way. Oh, you're, how can you pray for Donald Trump to be, I mean, you know, he's Beth Moore gets on Twitter and Beth Moore, who spoke at our general conference, which I'll never attend again if she speaks it again. But she said that we have lost our witness by supporting Donald Trump. And I tweeted back to Beth Moore, I am Joe Biden and I approve this message. I am tired of preachers and Christians and authors. We are learning who's on the Lord's side, and we are learning who is saved and who's not saved, who is the wheat and who's the tare. I hate to be that blunt about it, but the bottom line of this is I am praying that on election night, you see, they've got commercials on the other side, and they've got powerful interest, and they've got Hollywood actors, but we have a God who's in heaven, and we have prayer, and bless God, we're going to strive together until we pull this thing through. Somebody give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. I'm tired of not being all in. It is time for the church to get all in. Well, what if the Lord allows the other side to win? Well, that'll be fine if that's the Lord's plan, because he's got a better plan anyway. But I'm going to pray as if everything depends upon me, and I'll let God be God no matter what happens. Amen. So aim your prayers, endeavor, go all out. Somebody say, go all out. Now, some of you, you go all out for holiday decorating. I mean, your house is like the front cover of a Country and Living magazine. I mean, you're just all out. Some people go all out in the things that they do in hobbies and in crafts. But what Paul is talking about here is going all out in prayer. Amen. To seek, to tackle. Have you ever thought about the word tackle? In other words, a man's got the football and you got to stop him from going to the end zone. And so you're not going to tap him on the shoulder and say, "You mind handing that over to me?" You're going to do everything you can to bring them down. It's called tackling. If somebody tries to steal your wife's purse, I don't care how sanctified you are, you're going to run after them until you can tackle them and then get the purse back and then talk to them about the Lord. Amen. The word strive means to push, to assuage, to scramble. In other words, just position yourself, to struggle. You ever heard the phrase to bend over backwards? That's what Paul wants you to do. He wants you to bend over backwards in your prayers. He wants you to break your neck. You ever heard that phrase? To break your neck. Just break a neck. You know, I'm going to break my neck going all out for this. Well, that's what we need to do. We need to break our neck. We need to do our best. We need to be on our utmost. We need to go for broke. Here's one. We need to go for the jugular. Have you ever heard that phrase? Man, they're going for the jugular. We need to go for the jugular. Amen. We need to be in business. I'm going for the devil's jugular. I mean to put him down. And I mean to pray that other side away. Amen. They're bad for our country, bad for our future, bad for the unborn. And you mean to tell me you're a Christian and you're going to vote for that other side? No, sir. You vote for them because you're one of them. We need to leave no stone unturned. Amen. When it comes to I'm going to keep praying until no stone is unturned. Shoot for, take on, try hard, die hard. Amen. You ever heard that phrase? Die hard phrase, die hard. I'm just a die hard Christian. I'm just a die hard conservative. Well, I'm just a die hard man of prayer. I am just going to pray until I'm going to strive. I'm going to agonize until God comes through. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. Oh, that you would give us a revival. Oh, that you would save my loved ones. It's time to go all in for prayer. Is anybody with me tonight? If you are, give him a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to give you 3 points tonight. Going all in who? Going all in who? So, Paul is asking for the Romans to pray for him. Now, this is very interesting because if you flip to the next chapter, in chapter 16, he lists a lot of names. How many of you know everything in the Bible is important? Every scripture is important. Now, I want you to go to Romans chapter 16. Now, it starts at verse 1, but I want us to go to verse 5 because verse 5 kind of condenses it. All right? If you're there, say amen. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well... Now, these names I can't pronounce. I'm just going to tell you I'm college educated, but I can't pronounce these names. Well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Verse 6. Are you there? Say amen. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Isn't that amazing? We don't know who Mary is. And we're not talking about the mother of the Lord. But somebody who labored, worked, rolled up their sleeves, got involved. Greet for her. Tell her, your work, we recognize it. Salute Andronicus and Janya, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles and who were... Have you ever heard of Andronicus? If you ask the average Christian, you ever heard of Andronicus? You might have heard of him. You know, it is. It's in the Bible. Yeah. Andronicus and Janya. Now, go to verse 8. Greet Amplus, my beloved in the Lord. Amplus. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ. Eustatius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them that are of Astrobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosia, who labor in the Lord. Salute beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother. Salute Asclepius, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, the brethren that are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia. And there she is, amen. And Nerissus, and his sister Olympus, and the saints that are with them. You ever heard of that bunch? Yeah, that was like speaking in tongues. Amen. Praise God. I thought we were going to have an interpretation there in a moment. Just leave those last set of names up there for me, Sister D. But we read the Bible and we just read right on through those list of names. But those names represent a person. No, you don't read of Peter, or you don't read of James or John. I'm talking about the apostles. You don't read of Isaiah or Jeremiah or Jonah, one of these. But these are the people he's asking. Strive together with me in prayer. He's not asking for theologians or college presidents. He's not asking for, we don't know the wealth of these people. We don't know their bank account statements. We don't know if they own property. We don't know if they had degrees or if they were learned, or probably not. They're probably just average people. You know, in that society, people didn't go to school like they go to now. People were very simple. They just farmed and raised animals and livestock, and they were just everyday workers, day shift workers, you know, in the market. But these made up the church at Rome. And these are the ones that God, Paul said, come all in with me. God hears the prayers of the Philegus. He hears the prayers of Julia. He hears the prayers of Nerissus. He hears the prayers of Olympus. He hears the prayers of Elam. He hears the prayers of Beulah. He hears the prayers of Ricky. He hears the prayers of his people. And I want you to know that you can and are making a difference when you strive together, when you aim your prayers, when you break your neck, when you bend your knee, when you bow your head, when you are whisper a prayer, something is happening. When you go all in, I promise you, God is going to go all out. Can you give him praise here tonight? Amen. I want you to know that there was a great preacher who one time went to a certain place to preach, and he came out and there was a little lady who met him, and she said to the minister, she said, I don't have a lot to offer, but I can pray. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about. You may not have a lot to offer, but you can talk to the Lord, and you can pray, and you can pray and strive together. Somebody say together. No titles, no degrees, but each of us, and collectively, we can charge the gates of hell. We can plead the blood of Jesus. We can call out to a God that hears, that says, if there's 10 righteous, I'll spare the city. Oh, God, spare America. Oh, God, you gave us a miracle in 2016. Oh, God, I know there's a lot of deception. I know there's a lot that the devil's trying to do, but show yourself strong. Show yourself. Our hopes are really not in a man at the end of the day, but our hopes are in the God who can allow a man and raise up a man and use that person for his glory. Can you say amen? So, who needs to go all in? Turn around and tell somebody, you. You do. Just you. I know you may not feel like it's your Benny Hinn, you know, Benny Hinn on the platform, and he blows on people and they fall down and this, that, or the other. And we look at the evangelists, we look at the Jimmy Swaggerts, when we look at the big names. But in that list we read, there was no big names listed, were there? I mean, they were big, but they weren't not big name people. Amen. They may have had hard names, but they weren't the big names. God wants to use all of us and each of us to go all in, and let's strive together. Let's agonize together. Let's pray together. Let's aim together in our prayers. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, why? Point two. We said who. That's the unnamed people. But why? Why would Paul say, strive together with me in your prayers? Why struggle? Why agonize? Why suffer? Why persist? Why plead? Why thunder? Why go all in prayer to God? Is it because God is reluctant to answer prayer? Are we to strive in prayer because we're trying to bend God's arm? Is it because He's got a clenched fist and he wants us to open his fist, and the harder we pray, the more he might let us have what we ask? Is that why Paul said for us to strive in prayer? Does he delight in seeing us suffer? Does he get certain glory out of us agonizing in prayer? I mean, why does Paul ask that? Why? Let me just say it like this. God is not delighting in holding things back. The opposite. He delights in pouring out answers and help. If I were God and this election is coming up, I would want to know who's going to plead and who's going to stand. I'd want my children to call mightily upon me to intervene for the good of their nation. For as goes the nation, so goes the world. America is the world leader right now, spiritually, economically, financially. And we must not allow that. My sister went to Hollywood a few weeks ago, and she took a picture of the sign, the Hollywood sign. And I texted her back and I said, hell E Wood. That's exactly what it is. Perversion. And you have the homosexual people that are like, we're not going to call them she and he anymore. We're going to call them zer and zim. We're not going to teach your students in school. Drag queens teach in the public schools. And by the way, Amy Coney Barrett, you made a big mistake when you said people had sexual preference. No. It's supposed to be sexual orientation, because people can't help their orientation. That's the stuff that we've got to pray against in the name of. It is confusion. It is debauchery. It is wickedness. And I will be arrested for saying that if the wrong side gets elected, friend. And all of you so-called false, weak, tear Christians that vote for that side, you'll be okay. You'll be having church fine, but it'll be a false church. The true church will, by the way, when they persecute the church, we get even more crazy and on fire. Amen? People say, well, maybe the Lord needs to pour on persecution to the church. Listen, let me tell you something. When Adolf Hitler came into power, and he destroyed the church as any semblance of a godly church. Very few stood against him. Many said, I won't get politically involved. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer left and went to America because he was a great theologian and his heart was burdened for his homeland. And he went back to Germany to go underground. And he was part of the plot to kill Hitler, because Hitler was killing the Jews and shutting down the churches. But it was too little and it was too late. He should have never really gone back, because all it did was cost him his life, and we needed him beyond that. I'm just telling you, friend, there are consequences if we don't vote correctly. There's consequences if we don't stand up and stand up while we can, while we have the freedom. You see, it isn't that God is reluctant. Martin Luther said this. He said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness. Look at James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, and I'm going to read from the Living Bible. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him and he will gladly tell you. For he is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. He will not resent it. God gives to all men liberally. It's not that we're to strive in prayer to bend his arm. It's not to strive in prayer to twist his arm, or to, in a sense, try to persuade him or beg him. No. Look at Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. And I say unto you, ask, and what? I'm asking. I'm saying, Lord, I'm specifically asking for X, Y, Z. And I'll tell you, he'll do it. Amen. And his timing, he'll do it. Has anybody ever asked God and he gave you something? And made a way? Ask and you shall receive. It shall be given to you. Seek and you shall what? Knock and it shall be what? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now there's three kaleidoscopes. That's a kaleidoscope of prayer. Prayer is asking. Asking is one thing. Seeking is another thing. And knocking is another thing. Amen? That's three parts, right? There's a three part that you could talk about prayer. It's not just asking. It's also seeking. And it's not just seeking. It's also knocking. Which, knocking implies persistence. It implies patience. When you go to somebody's door, you don't know, it looks like they're home, but you don't know if they're home or not. So me and Darnell, we go walking down the road to exercise. And I see on my watch that there's been motion at my camera. I don't think anything about it. It could be just a bumblebee going by or something. Well, the motion kept going off and kept going off. And I thought somebody must be. So I thought Darnell had quit walking because I walk faster and further. And so I figured maybe she turned around and went back. Well, I didn't think anything about it until I got back home. And then I looked on the camera on the recording and there was a man there that I didn't recognize. And he had a green bottle in his hand. I thought, well, poor fella, boy, he just was knocking on the door. And I bet he thought, the two cars are there, and I bet he thought somebody was there. Well, he was knocking, but he eventually left because nobody came to the door. Well, that's the way it is with knocking. Knocking is you have a little bit of anticipation. You have a little bit of patience. You have a little bit of faith, even though you don't see it. And that's what prayer is sometimes. We don't see it immediately. We keep on knocking until the door is open, until the obstacle is cleared, until we see victory. Can't you say amen? So about 2 hours later, I was outside in my car and had my trunk, and I was wiping off the back window of my car, and I saw this man and this other man pull up, and I didn't know who they were, and I didn't want to be impolite. I thought it might have been somebody at church or something. Well, there was the man with the green bottle. And he come out of the car, and he just smiled and said, I saw you when you came to my door 2 hours ago. I said, thank you for coming by. I'm not interested. And he looked at me so disappointed. I said, thank you. And by the way, don't come again. And I told him to get out and leave me alone. I didn't want them bothering me. I don't want those crazy people out there. They're just, they might kill me or something. You say, well, you weren't very polite, were you? Well, I was polite when I said what I said, but I had to mean it. If not, they'd be there forever. Come on. Y'all still love me. Say amen. I don't want nobody messing with my wife. My wife might be there by herself. I might have Haley over there. And that's two, my wife and Haley. She might be there because we're trying to mentor her and love her. And I might be at Best Buy. I don't want those men trying to sell stuff. They ain't got nothing that I want. Now, if I want to witness to them, I'll go down the road and meet them at Chick-fil-A and tell them about the Lord. Amen. But get off my property. That is my property. I don't want you messing at my house if you're a stranger trying to sell me something. I'm not interested. That's a bad way to try to sell stuff, is to go cold turkey and knock on doors. Now, do y'all still love me? Can I just be honest with you? I'm funny about my house. I'm funny about I am a man. I'm going to protect. I don't want strangers bothering my wife when she's at home by herself. She's home there a lot more than I am. I'm at work a lot and she's at home. And I just want them to know, don't mess with my stuff. What'd you say, brother? You would. Thank you, Brother Elam. I love you. No. Now, Brother Ray comes, and he's got two ham biscuits. Come on in, brother. Oh, I tell you what. Anytime I see your face out there, it's like, hallelujah. Anybody else, it's, hey, I'll see you. Amen. Listen, we got to seek, we got to ask, we got to knock. Amen. For everyone that asketh receiveth, for he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to him, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And I don't want no Jehovah's Witnesses coming around either. I might as well just tell you about all my stuff, right? You come over there with that watchtower stuff, I'm going to be nice, but the exit's that way. Got no time for it? Well, why don't you tell them about the Lord? Because they're not interested in hearing about the Lord. If they were halfway interested, I'd tell them to come in and we'd have a talk and I'd lead them to the Lord. But I ain't got time for that, bless God. I've got to preach. I've got a job to do. I've got a family. I've got responsibilities. The devil wants to get you all messed up in little old trivial stuff. Stuff that'll just run you down and get your emotions all worked out. No, he's in charge of my life. You're not in charge of my life. But listen, let me tell you something. If you come and you got a need, if you come and you've got something that you need prayer about, brother, my house and my door is wide open, and we'll let the Lord work. Can you say amen? Amen. But let me tell you something. When you pray, God's not saying strive and agonize and in prayer just to see you grovel. Mm-mm. He said, if you're needing bread, I'm not going to give you a stone. If you're asking for an egg, I'm not going to give you a scorpion. Our Father wants to give us good gifts. He wants to bless us. Can you say amen here tonight? Oh, why did Paul say strive in prayer? Why did he say agonize in prayer? Why did he say go all in prayer? Is it because of God's reluctance? No. I'll tell you why he said for us to agonize in prayer. It's not because of God's reluctance. It's because of Satan's resistance. Do you know we have a devil that's trying to hinder our prayers? I'm not trying to wrestle God, but I am trying to wrestle the devil. Amen? Look at Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and chasten yourself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. That's why we have to agonize in prayer, because we're trying to overcome Satan. And Satan wants to defeat our prayers. And how did Satan defeat our prayers? He just pushes back on our prayers. Oh, God, I need you to open this door. And while you're praying about the door open, Satan's like, that door's going to close. That door's going to close. Look how impossible that door is. But before you can get your prayer up off the ground, you've already folded up your hands and quit, because the devil's convinced you God's not going to open that door that you're just praying that God will open. Or whatever it is you're praying for. Oh, you're not going to get that healing. Oh, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that breakthrough. Your child is never going to get saved. You're never going to get that positive result. You're never going to get that. And so what are you doing? You got to pray beyond the resistance. You got to pray beyond the commercials you see on TV. It looks like all these commercials you see, these political commercials. You got to cut that stuff off and say, oh, no, our God's still in charge. Amen. And he can turn things just like he wants it. Amen. Hallelujah. Satan is trying to defeat our prayers. Satan is trying to hinder our prayer. Daniel was praying and the Lord said, I heard you from the minute you started praying. Can we just stop right there and say, thank you, Lord, that you hear the minute that I pray. I'm talking about when I'm in the doctor's office, wherever I'm at, I just whisper a prayer to the Lord and he hears the prayers. Amen. Well, understand, too, that Satan tries to hinder our prayers. And then not only Satan, but sometimes our own self. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are what? The one to the other, so that you cannot have or do the things that you would. You've got to understand that when you're praying, you got to strive in prayer, agonize in prayer, go all in prayer, aim in prayer, because we have our own human self that we have to fight through at times. One of the greatest things we have to fight through is condemnation. Have you ever been praying, asking God to do something, and then all of a sudden you remember that you said something you shouldn't have said, or you did something 25 years ago you shouldn't have done? Where did that come from? Self and Satan. Our memories. Oh, I'm so unworthy. I'm so unworthy. You know what? We are, in a sense. We'll never be good enough in our own self. But listen, I don't go to God in my own self anyway. I go to Him through His blood and through His mercy and through His forgiveness. Now, we'll tell you what's good when you start praying is if the Lord reminds you if you got unforgiveness about somebody. Ooh, now that's not the devil. That's the Lord. Because let me tell you, the devil don't want you to forgive. So if you start praying and then you think about somebody that has really hurt you, or you've gotten offended, or blah, 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 then what you have to do is you gotta leave your gift at the altar and go make things right. I don't want anything to keep me from a prayer, powerful prayer life. Amen. I had somebody, you know, it done me wrong one time, and I said, well, I'm going close by and preach down there. And so I said, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. And I was like, wait a minute. I need to make sure everything's good. So I sent a message and I said to the brother and the sister, I said, just want to let you know, I'll be preaching not far from you. And I want you to know that if I've said or done anything, please forgive me. And I know I'd made a lot of mistakes, and I would appreciate your forgiveness. And I'll be honest with you, they're the ones that did me wrong big time. But listen, that didn't make a difference. I've long ago forgiven them, but I want to make sure that they know that I'm willing to own up for my part. Amen. That I'm willing to say, hey, I know I made some mistakes. We all make mistakes. And so I sent the message out, and I didn't know what response I would get, but I got a really good response. And I went down there and I preached. But when I preached, I just could not go in that area and preach and then people be like, well, he did some things wrong. What's he doing back down here preaching? Oh no, Brother Ricky, he made it right. That's what I want to hear. I want to stand in the pulpit and have a clear conscience with everybody that everything, you're my brother, you're my sister. Oh, we might have hurt each other. You might have hurt me. I might have hurt you, but Jesus Christ hurt for all of us. Praise God. And we're going to heaven and all that's going to be behind us. And I'm going to keep striving in my prayers. I'm going to keep agonizing until I know that I know that there's no hindrance in the flesh, no hindrance of Satan, no hindrance of unforgiveness, no hindrance in circumstances. I'm going to go all in prayer. Can you say amen? It's not trying to overcome God's reluctance. It's like overcoming ourselves sometimes and our shortcomings and our failures. You know, the Lord's Prayer, I used to pray, I'm telling you, for the many years, the first thing I'd start doing when I was praying is, oh, God, forgive me. I know I've messed up. I know, forgive me, Lord. I struggle with sin. I struggle with things, Lord. Please forgive me for unforgiveness. Please forgive me. This one's really hurt my faith. I'd start my prayers like that because to me, I'm like, I want to get all that junk out of the way. But you know what? The Bible says when you pray, you're to pray according to the Lord's Prayer. And how does the Lord's Prayer start out? Does it start out by saying, Our Father, please forgive us for our sins? The Bible says, Our Father who art in heaven. You know what? If your prayers don't start in heaven, your prayers are never going to reach heaven. I'm telling you, if your prayers start in the dirt and the mire of your own life or somebody else's wrongs or somebody else's, as much as I'm for this presidential election, I don't start out my prayer saying, oh God, give us a victory on election night. No, sir. I start out by praying, our God who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let me tell you, by the time we do get down there to saying, forgive us, by the time we do get down there saying, Lord, we need you, we've already got victory because who've we focused in on the first part of that prayer? God who is mighty and God who is powerful, and God who's a mountain mover, a chain breaker, and a way maker. Strive together in your prayers. Start out by praising God and blessing God. Overcome self. Overcome Satan. Overcome the circumstances. And you'll see God do some amazing things. Amen? And think about how wicked people are sacrificing for their causes. And millionaires and billionaires are giving multiplied millions of dollars to elect these wicked politicians. And we see Hollywood actors, and we see people, we see hell has an intensity. They're trying to get into the, they're already in the school systems. They're in politics. They're in government. And friend, if the world is passionate about what they do, don't you think the world is passionate? MTV, music videos, Twitter and Facebook. Are you kidding me? They are going to censor. They're going to determine what is news and what's not news. You mean to tell me that a man's son can go to another country and get $1 million a month and it's not a scandal? When if it were a Republican president, I would just go ahead and say it, if it were Trump or Bush, if one of their children had gotten the money from those governments, it would be the worst scandal since Watergate. I tell you, the wickedness of these people out here are rising up. And you and I need to stir ourselves up. If they're getting all into music and movies and debauchery and sin, buddy, we in the church ought to get down and have a prayer meeting on the Capitol. We ought to have a prayer meeting. We ought to strive together in prayer. We ought to be all in for God. We ought to be all in our offerings, all in our giving, all in seeking the face of the Lord. And I really do pray. I pray hard for my family. Are y'all with me? I pray hard for them. I have for years. I said, Lord, please. And we've got family on both sides, my side and Darnell's side, that are a long way away from the Lord and have lifestyles that are not pleasing to God. We love them, absolutely. But I tell you what, I'm calling their names out to the Lord. And before this thing is over with, I believe God's going to win. And I believe he's going to glorify himself through the prayers that I struggle and pray with. Amen. Amen. People like, well, you don't ever invite your children to church. Well, I know they're not going to come. You know what's happened? You've given up. Amen. Well, my husband is not saved. Well, do you pray for him? Yeah, I pray for him. But he ain't nothing going to change. Well, you've already given up, haven't you? I'm not giving up. Until breath is taken from this body, I'm going to keep praying for people. I'm going to keep believing God. I'm going to keep witnessing. I'm going to keep striving. I'm going to go all in. Can you say amen? So first of all, going all in. Who? That's all of us, unnamed, unknown people, but God knows us. Going all in. Why? Because we have a flesh. We have Satan. We have circumstances. The wicked are doing it. And then finally, as I close, going all in. What? What happens? Go to Romans chapter 15, verse 30. It says, now I beseech you, brethren. I'm waiting for the Royal Rangers to come in to stop. And if they don't come on in, I'm going to be here all night. Somebody go get them quick. Romans, you guys need a break. I haven't preached in two or three weeks, so I'm going to make enough. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all not laughing, so let me move on. Romans chapter 15. Y'all just scared to come to my house now. I know what it is. Oh, y'all. Oh, my. Just don't be selling no green stuff or don't be bringing no watchtower. Other than that, y'all right. Amen. Amen. Romans 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God. Number one, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Paul's like, I'm going to be facing some tough people, and I need protection. Number two, that my service, which I have in Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. In other words, I need your prayers, because without your prayers and without God, my service will be ineffective. You know what? As a pastor, I need your prayers. Our pastor needs our prayers. Amen. And I pray for our pastor. Amen. I pray for our church leaders that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and with you may be refreshed. Now, did God answer those prayers? History says he did answer those prayers, but it wasn't easy. Paul went through tremendous persecution. He went through chains and imprisonment. And so Paul is like, pray that I'll be able to preach the gospel, that I'll be able to reach the world. But he got arrested and he got put in chains. But you know how, do you know how they, and I'm closing, I am. Do you know what they did when they put you in chains for his type of crimes? They were so afraid that you would escape. They would take a hardened Roman soldier. And come here, Brother Ray. You're going to be chained together with me, my brother. Amen. With that ham biscuit that you brought me the other day. Alan, that cheese biscuit.
I don't have a green bottle.
That's right. No green bottle. Amen, brother. But hold on here. We're going to be chained up. Praise God. I'm going to use the pastor's chain here. All righty, brother. All right. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's get chained up. Don't do it too tight. Look at there. Chain it again. So I'm the Apostle Paul, and he's a hardened Roman soldier. So that means everywhere he goes, I go. And everywhere I got to go, he's got to go. Now, that's how they chained old Paul up. Can you imagine being chained to the Apostle Paul? I bet that Roman soldier was used to being chained to these criminals and these demons. And I bet this guy was waiting for some criminal and he got up and chained to some preacher.
Then he got saved.
That's exactly what happened. History tells us that Paul, when he got chained to those soldiers, you know, the scripture says, put on the whole armor of God. Would you turn your head the other way? I need to write about it. Thank you, sir. Yes, the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. That thing's kind of hard there, brother. I'll tell you what. And so he's explaining to the Roman soldier what he's writing to the church at Ephesus. You can let me go, brother. This is enough. Amen. I ain't gonna mess it up. Thank you, brother. Folks, I'm just here to tell you whatever the devil means for evil, God means for good. If he's got you chained to somebody at the workplace, if you're sitting next to somebody in the classroom, or if your cubicle faces somebody that just gets under your skin, please understand God knows where he's putting you, and you can be a witness. And Paul would win that soldier, and then he'd win another soldier. And before you know it, the Bible says in the book, read the end of Romans. It says, even they of Caesar's household had gotten saved. And I'll tell you, the servants had gotten saved because Paul witnessed and the Christians witnessed to those even who were mistreating them. And they strived together in prayer and God came through and God blessed. And my friend, God is still blessing and he's going to bless America and he's going to bless the church and we're going to see revival. Praise God, the Rangers are coming in. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord that we're going to see victory. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Strive together with me in your prayers. Let's go all in. Somebody say, I'm going all in.
Hallelujah. Amen. I want to read your testimony about going all in. You know, the devil tries to get to us in so many ways. Many times, if he can't get to you, he'll try to get to your children or to your wife or to someone that's very near to you. But my daughter, Jessica, she's been going through a very trying time and just a plate so full that she can't do it all. And I let her just vent the other night on me and tell me everything she wanted to tell me. I just listened very patiently. And I went to prayer after that. And here's what the Lord gave me. I was in prayer praying for you and your situation. As I prayed, the Holy Spirit brought two scriptures to my remembrance. You pay your tithe, so expect God's blessings. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. Pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Then I wrote her this. God has promised to open up a new door for you, and to bless you, and to rebuke the devil for your sake. She's a tither. She sends her tithing and her husband's tithe to this church every month. The second scripture I prayed was because of my relationship with the Lord. I have sought to serve Him and seek Him and hunger and thirst for His presence and guidance. Because of that, the Lord has promised to bless my seed. I know God will keep His word because I have lived off my mother and dad's blessing pack for years. Isaiah 43:3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thine offspring. Jessica, you have a double portion blessing coming your way. So start rejoicing. Start praising God. Praise God for your miracle because it happens, because you are blessed and highly favored of God. Remember, God's favor is for a lifetime. So get a merry heart and praise your way to victory. The best is yet to come. I have prayed for you, and you are my seed, and that is God's word to you. Blessings and love in Jesus' name. Love, Dad. I sent that prayer, and the very next day she called me. And she was under such a tremendous load at work. And she said, Dad, my supervisor met with me, and they're going to let me hire someone. And it's taken that pressure off of me already. Amen. Now, there's a new door going to open to her because she's wanting a new door to open. And I know that God is going to do that. Why do I know that? Because she's my child. Because I have a covenant, and because as far as I know, I am all in. I decided that 37 years ago, that whatever God wanted from me, I'm willing to do it. And that song Sister Darnell sang about surrendering all. Since when a person surrenders everything to the Lord, if you will notice some of those things I had in that text to her, expect. That's what faith really is. If you're all in, expect God's blessing. If you pay your tithe, expect God to open the windows of heaven. If you have godly parents, a godly mate, expect God to keep His word if you're all in. Because God said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon your offspring. So the whole thing is being all in, as Pastor Ricky just preached, and then faith is expecting. That's, you have an expectant heart because God has promised you something. And like he said, you don't pray to open and pry God's hands open. You pray to get a word from God.
Yes.
Because once you get that word and you start decreeing that word into the atmosphere, then you are in agreement with what God has already said. And, you know, the part I didn't put in there is what I did in my own private prayer life. I tell the devil, I say, get your hands off of my children.
Come on.
Get your hands off my body, off my wife, off my finances. I point you to Calvary, where Jesus stripped you of your power, made a show of you openly, triumphed over you, and gave me the keys. Sometimes I'll just take my keys out. You see that, devil? I got the keys. I got keys of the kingdom. I got keys to my house. I got keys to an automobile. You don't even have the key to your house. Jesus took it from you, gave it to the church. Church, we're doing a great series right now on prayer, and I want you to pray, and we're going to close by praying for this nation right now. Father, we just praise you that you have favored us and given us a great nation, the United States of America. And Lord, we know that there are many people that are deceived, and we know, Lord, that they don't hear from you, but God, you do talk to your people. And there are some that, Lord, they have preconceived ideas and preconceived notions, and they cannot change their mind because they don't want to change their mind. And God, you said the Lord has spoken yea once, yea twice. You said, but in a dream and a vision. While they sleep and while they slumber, I will speak to them. So, God, we know that righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people, killing little babies. Jesus, you said it's been said of old, thou shalt not kill. And, God, you said I knew you before you were ever in the womb. And, God, I've been reading that and searching your scriptures on that. And, God, you are for life. In you was life. You are Zoe. You are life, eternal life. And God, we just pray for this nation, and we pray that you will touch the hearts of people, God, that they will cast their vote on the right side. You said, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord, who he has chosen for his inheritance. God, you have chosen this nation. You have raised this nation up. And we bind the devil and we cancel his assignment. We cast down those imaginations and high thoughts and the news media, God, that is just one way, and Facebook and all of that media that's, Lord, trying to put a man in that does not. You've never chosen Joe Biden to lead this nation. He's not on your radar. He's not in your plan. And, Lord, I know that Donald Trump was raised up by your hand against all odds. You put him in. And, God, we're asking you and praising you and thanking you for 4 more years. God, we need to get the things ready, Lord, for the coming of the Lord and a great harvest of souls. And, God, the wealth of the wicked has been laid up for the righteous, and America is the wealthiest nation there is because of your favor and your blessings, and because we have sown our seed into the kingdom of God, and we've sent millions and billions and trillions of dollars into missions to reach the world for Jesus. And you have promised just before you return, Lord, and we know that the coming of the Lord is near, that you're going to pour out the former rain and the latter rain. And God, we're asking you to bless America from sea to shining sea so we can take this gospel to the ends of the earth. And Lord, we can gather in the harvest. You said the fields are white for harvest, the labors are few. Pray you, the Lord of the harvest, he would send forth laborers into the field. And Father, we pray for this nation, and we agree in prayer, and we thank you, God, that you're going to move in a mighty way. We're not trying to move your hand, God. Your hand has already moved. You have already decided. He who decides, Father, our Father, which art in heaven, we hallow your name, we praise your name, and we thank you for answered prayer. Lord, there are people that don't understand the way we pray. That's because, Lord, they're deceived. But God, we are not deceived. You have opened our eyes. You have opened our ears. You've opened our understanding. And God, as we look into the spirit world, we can see the devil. Lord, he's upset. He's coming hard as he can because he knows that his time is short, and he knows that the church is alive and well, and that the church is going to rise and shine. And we thank you for the anointing to do that. We thank you for your favor upon us. We thank you, God, for raising up a church, glory to God, that will not back down. And we don't have to back down when God is backing us up. And we pray that your kingdom will come and your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, for this great nation. And we thank you for our president, Donald J. Trump. And we pray, God, that you will help him and his family, keep him in good health. Lord, give him favor with you and with man. Give him favor with man, God. We thank you for that. And help people to cast their vote on the right side. Hallelujah. We love you and thank you, Lord, that we're a part of your kingdom. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer so many times. All sickness and disease, we curse it in Jesus' name. We release the healing anointing in the spirit of the living God. And the church said in Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whoever thought you would have a revival of prayer on Wednesday nights? Amen. God bless you. Look at three people and tell them, you are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed and highly favored of God. You are blessed, 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 and highly favored of God.